Hey guys, this is Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we just wanted to say we did in fact do the wraps for the iTunes review challenge. It's still ongoing, it's still current, but we're going to put them at the end of this episode. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, Demi.
All right.
Because we are too damn embarrassed to do it in front of our guest today, Anthony King.
Yeah.
So they're at the end. Stick around after we sing the theme song and you're going to hear your mind blown. That's it.
La la la, hammers and veils. The title of the episode is Hammers and Veils. It's where they have hammers and veils.
Self-explanatory. Hey guys, welcome to Gilmore Guys.
I'm Demi.
I'm Kevin, and we are legally
the Gilmore Guys. By legal status.
By binding law.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang, it's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. And you can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. Oh my gosh. So we are, in a way, it's like we're two episodes into season two.
We are.
In a way.
You could say
I don't
that.
Know if it's literally, but more or less we are.
It's not as legal as the other thing.
Sure. And what's fun about this week, well, let's talk about our guests. Before we get started, and before we do a proper introduction of our actual guest, we should say what happened to Mr. Hanks. Ugh.
Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy H. We said Tom Hanks would be on the show.
We did.
On this episode. And
I believe I promised to cut off my arm at some point.
You've promised that twice.
Look, I'll cut
so
it off
far.
Next time, all right?
Yeah.
It's an audio-only podcast. What's the benefit?
We need to do some video stuff, though. We need to... It's an untapped market. Someone was texting me...
No one's done video before.
I know. Video podcast. People love video of people just talking at microphones.
Yep.
Can't get enough of it. Anyway, Tom Hanks couldn't make it. Him and Rita Wilson were having a date night or something.
It's a date night at the house, he said. He called.
Flawless Tom Hanks impression.
Well, I've talked to him a lot.
Oh my gosh. But you know what? Let's stop digging around because I think our guest today, dare I say, is even better.
Yeah, he won't blow us off for Rita Wilson.
That's right. So let's intro him right now.
La la, la la.
Nice
guest.
Nice guest.
Good.
Well, you know him as a writer from Broad City, from Playing House. And you know him from his own podcast, Don't Get Me Started, and from the UCB. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Anthony King.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah.
I really enjoy you guys singing along to
Anthony King.
To the theme song.
There's going to be a lot more.
You thought that was bad. Half of this show, I feel like, is us singing.
Yeah.
And the guests just looking at us.
It's a good portion of the song.
All right,
of the show.
All right. Checks out. Like Allie did that. Brian just kind of looked at us.
Yeah.
He participated a little bit in the theme song.
I like when people freestyle on the theme song. That's fun.
Yeah, Eliza Skinner had some sweet freestyles.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. Did you listen to that episode?
Nope.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't listen to things I'm not involved in.
Oh, dang.
It's not true.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
That would be awful.
That'd be such a limited listening palette.
Yeah.
Or think about, Anthony, if you only watch TV shows that you wrote.
I know, that would be horrible.
Right.
It'd be like, I don't know, 10 hours total, maybe?
Yeah, I'd watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
Little trivia for you guys. Our first female guest on the show was Miss Kate Spencer, who, full disclosure, is married to Anthony King.
She's my lawfully wedded wife.
She's your wife.
It's true.
Your wife.
Your wife.
Sorry, that's really hard not to do. It's really hard not to do. Is that weird?
I was. If he didn't have the lawfully wedded, I would have just jumped in with the my wife. So, good deflection.
So you guys are kind of the, as of right now, the Gilmore Guys power couple.
Oh, nice.
Is that, that's fair to say,
congratulations.
Right?
Yeah.
And that you're the only couple that's been on the show.
Hey.
Separately, not together.
Sometimes you got to just accept the power that you get, you know?
Right.
That with great power comes great podcast. Right?
That's the saying.
That's the phrase. Anthony, what is your relationship and your history with Gilmore Girls as a show?
Not much. I have heard of it. I found out in the last year that Melissa McCarthy was on it.
That's true.
And then I watched my first episode for this podcast.
Wow, okay.
I will say this, that I worked on the show Playing House, which Lennon Parham and Jessica St. Clair, it's their show, and Jessica St. Clair would reference Gilmore Girls a lot. She's a huge fan.
She's right. a huge and fan. We've been made aware of this.
Yeah, she's a gigantic fan, and she would talk about it a lot as like inspiration. She mm-hmm. would tell us, you got to watch Gilmore Girls, you got to, and then I didn't. But
would she get mad at you that you wouldn't watch it?
Well, no one was watching it, so it's not like I was the only
yeah,
one.
You weren't
like,
the
we
odd
were all
man
like, now. yeah, Gilmore Girls.
So she'd be in the writer's room and be like, it's like in season 4 of Gilmore Girls, and
right,
people would
exactly
be like, no, I have no reference point. I know Lennon didn't watch the show.
Yeah. I don't think Lennon watched it either, yeah.
Yeah.
And if she's not going to watch it,
then
you guys
why
are off
am
the
I
hook.
Watch
well,
it?
Right. Yeah. Although,
Jessica loves it.
What Jessica said at one point, she said, I think Jason Mantzoukas turned her on to the show.
Oh, interesting.
So Mantzoukas sired her into watching the show.
That's
which you wouldn't expect.
Yeah,
so,
I thought it would be the other way around.
Yeah.
You would think, but how about that? Okay, so you've heard as a reference point for a show that you wrote on.
What I knew of was that people talk fast. I think that's what I knew.
They talk fast?
Yeah, they do.
They talk true?
They do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's up to the viewer to decide, I guess.
I slow it down when I watch, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Yeah, good half point. Speed.
Wait, like on a podcast, so you can do that? Where
yeah.
Where you can...
If you're out on the road.
Wait, but on the podcast, they don't lower the pitch, do they?
No.
So that's a false approximation. I don't want to call you out and make a fool of you, but...
Well, too late.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get into some happier times.
Yeah.
By getting to the episode discussion, episode 202, season 2, episode 2, Hammers and Veils.
And Veils. Nice pun.
Not just...
They're not all pun titles, right?
No.
No. Hardly.
There are a lot of pun titles.
There are
reference.
A lot, okay.
Wait, what would be the last pun title?
What was the previous one? Oh, Sadie. Not
that's
really.
Not really a pun. That's just a ref. By the way, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but I'm just now putting it together that it sounds like Hammers and Nails. I was just like, oh, that's two random objects. I'm just now putting it together that
oh,
it's
Kevin.
Hammers and Nails. Oh, my gosh.
They had the Deer Hunters. That was a pun.
That's true.
I'm trying to think of any other puns, though.
Oh, also, I should say, before we get into the episode discussion, this is a special... Dad's Week on the podcast. We had Brian Husky on for 201. He's a father. Anthony, you're a father.
I am, of girls.
Of two...
Two girls.
Two lovely girls.
Yeah.
That are too young for you to kind of relate to the show at all.
Yes,
on any
they,
dynamic level.
Yeah, they would not watch this.
They don't drop, they don't drop references
nope.
all the time?
They don't talk about Peyton Place?
Oh, man.
They don't drop pop culture references. If it was animated, they might watch it.
Do they talk but, yet? Are they?
Oh, yeah. One is almost 4, and the other one is 1.5, so she
right
talks
on.
Very little, but says just words that are mispronounced. But the older one talks a lot, but she only really likes animated stuff.
Gotcha. And are you looking forward to being able to have fuller conversations, or are you kind of reveling in this time where it's like, oh, the chatter's low?
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it, for sure.
Yay.
Yeah.
Cool. Abed, he's on Gilmore Girls season 6.
Is he?
That's true. Danny Pudi.
Everyone's going to be in
he
this
is?
Show.
Yeah, he for real is. He's wow. like, I think he works
I
at
thought
the...
he was discovered for Community for some reason.
I mean, that was his breakout, I'm sure. Right. But yeah, he was like, he wasn't background. He had lines and stuff. So he was a guest star.
Apparently maybe. John Hamm's in the show.
Wow.
John, yeah. Who's the other one?
Milo Ventimiglia.
I don't know anything, so I can't give a spoiler. But she's not going to marry that dude, right?
No.
Max Medeiros next?
I also don't know. Stop it.
I know, I shouldn't say that. I like that a lot less than Chad Michael Mudface.
Max Medeiros nuts.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure they're not going to
marry. She's not going to marry him.
No, it's season two.
I don't know, guys. Does she?
Stop it. No. He loves to like give
You can tell in this episode, right. It's like, they're not going to get married.
Of course.
She doesn't seem that into him. But before we get into all of that, let's start the episode discussion the way we start every episode discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
Oh, whoa. I totally stepped on you that time.
I love it. It was a zigzag.
I zig, you zag.
That's true. I do.
I'm fire.
I'm
water.
Water.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say ice or cold fire.
Ice, baby. So this is a segment where we take every pop culture reference in the show, in the episode, string them together in a little supercut. Listen back and try to make heads or tails of it.
Yeah.
This is Pop Goes the Culture for episode 202, Hammers and Veils.
There's a 7:30 showing of Barbarella.
And halfway through one of those nauseating Bette Midler ballads, someone's getting drunk.
Funny, I never pictured you as a Bob Vila kind of girl.
And then there's the full-on Diana. I mean it, Timmy, no falling down the well.
Bye.
Bye.
But 5 minutes working for Emily Gilmore, and people are begging for Castro. Elizabeth Taylor bought one of her dresses there.
Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on.
I mean, she has a list of good deeds that could bump Mother Teresa off the Harvard list.
PJ Harvey.
Rory, stop it.
This food and arms race thing is really getting crazy.
Whatever happened to Shusha?
We can get a pizza and go on Amazon.
Well, the Sinatra medley was great. I'd maybe skip playing anything else by the dam.
Must have been a good Oprah today.
Yeah, well, by the time I could get my jaw off the ground, Speed Racer had taken my plate.
The only way you could be more important to me is if you had a Kit Kat bar growing out of your head.
I'm sorry if you thought we had some kind of deep Thelma Louise thing going here, but we didn't.
A level of perfection that has rarely been seen outside the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Boy, they keep making that ketchup slower and slower, huh?
It's the Heinz family's little joke.
Then you and my mother can continue the Roy's building a house routine, and when that gets boring, you can move on over to who's on first.
I'll be tying yellow ribbons around the old oak tree.
Princess Grace didn't go to college.
Thank you for the history lesson, AJ Benza.
AJ Benza.
We all get the AJ Benza reference.
Did you get that reference?
I don't know who AJ Benza is.
AJ Benza is a former gossip columnist for the New York Daily News and host of E! Mysteries and Scandals, or I'm sure former host by this point. There's a few others. When she said Bob Vila, your regular Bob Vila over there, whatever.
This old home.
Yeah, this old house.
Her house, yeah.
Correct. I was an idiot, and I pictured Bob Ross.
That's what I pictured first,
the guy
too.
Who painted. I was like, but you're not painting, so I didn't understand it. So there's that. What are the other ones I didn't get?
The Oprah line was a truly good joke.
It was, yeah.
That's a really
good joke.
They
have some very solid references like a truly good in joke. There sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's very organic. Sometimes it's like...
right.
You went to Wikipedia or whatever the 2001
what's an old TV
equivalent
show?
Was. Which I guess was an encyclopedia.
Microsoft Encarta?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, dude.
Boot up Encarta. Shusha. What is, who is?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Was that a reference to something?
I think so.
Whatever happened to Shusha?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now. According to this, it's spelled XUXA. Who knew?
Oh.
Shusha, I guess, was a Brazilian children's television host known for her revealing outfits. Sort of the 1980s version of Charo, she briefly hosted an American version of her TV show in the 90s.
Wow.
That's exhausting.
Wait, so she briefly hosted a version of it stateside, and that's a reference. They're like, everyone's going to get this. Everyone's got it.
I mean...
That's a deep cut.
Yeah.
A
lot of DCs in this one. AJ Benza, Shusha. Although, according to some people, it's like... Listen, we read the reviews of our podcast sometimes. It happens. It occurs. We listen to them sometimes when they're in audio. I remember someone talking, and they had positive things to say. They were very nice. But they said, you know, these guys are so young. They don't get a lot of these references. My response to that would be, I don't know if age is the, like,
yeah.
Oh, that's the barrier to me not understanding Shusha, the Brazilian.
Right. Yeah, that's obscure.
Very obscure.
I don't know where they're pulling these from. What's the pool? Or do they have like a big hat? It's like write everything you
can
remember.
It's just the Palladino brain, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Like I'm sure they don't actually seek it out. I think it's just...
Oh, it's just coming out. Yeah,
I think it's just the sponge, yeah. So the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Rory's sudden flurry of extracurricular activity strains her relationship with Dean. Emily is cold when Lorelai finally reveals her engagement.
That's all right.
Eh.
are these synopses not normally very good?
They're usually spoilery or awful.
Or just poorly written.
Right.
Like in this one, it's just weird that Emily is cold. Like that's a plot point? Yeah,
that's a character.
Why wouldn't you write like, when Lorelai reveals her engagement, Emily reacts in an unexpected or just something a little more active rather than, cold. She's cold. And it just, makes me not want to watch the episode. So
good thing you did.
Good thing I did, though, because
it doesn't sound like a synopsis that makes you go, I gotta watch that.
Right, yeah.
No, extracurricular activities and she was cold.
I gotta watch Emily be cold, man.
I gotta watch Rory get some extracurriculars in.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Anthony, based on this one episode, out of context, in the middle of a few storylines going on, how would you say you enjoyed this show overall?
I liked it okay. Mm-hmm. I never figured out why I was supposed to care about the hammering stuff or anything going on with the boyfriend. So all of that felt like nothing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of like, I don't really get what the daughter does other than I think she's smart and she wants to go to Harvard.
That's true.
But other than that, I don't really get what her point is or what she's even, what her stories are. Her friend was leaving, but that wasn't her.
Well, Lane, I mean, I was exhausted. I mean, she only had like two scenes, one of which was dialogueless.
Yeah.
But I was exhausted by everything about Lane in this episode.
So I was confused by that storyline of just like, it didn't feel like a storyline. And then, but then the other one I liked, I thought was good. But the.
With Lorelai and her mother.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more I tend to like. But even when I was younger, I always tended to like the Lorelai stuff much better than
what happened between the grandfather?
So in the previous episode, Rory brought her boyfriend to meet the grandfather, and then the grandfather basically grilled him and said, like, where are you going to school? You're not good enough for my daughter, and basically made a big deal about it. But the resolution of that was so adorable in this episode, of him going like, are we okay?
It was like the weakest you've ever seen Richard.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable, because he's usually either like out of it.
He's usually just so careless.
Or just like pretty blasé or unengaged, like most grandfathers.
Kind of funny, but this one he was
He was invested. You could see he was a little shell-shocked. It was a very nice touch. I did like that.
I think there was a line where in the previous episode, Emily also finds out that Lorelai's about to get married, and so she goes to Richard's like, our daughter's getting married, and she didn't tell us. When Rory gets married, I want her to tell us. Please call and apologize. And then in that moment, I think...
Oh, so you already knew that her mom knew.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that was knowing that.
Oh, gotcha. Well, and we talked about this on the last episode.
That changes how you'd watch the episode completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should. I don't know what
that
to
makes
do
me
about
feel
this.
Like nothing was happening in either plot.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah. This episode is worse than I thought it was.
What is that story about? If you already know that she knows.
What we as an audience know, Lorelai doesn't know that she knows, right?
But the audience knows.
But I guess it's just like the Lorelai knowing that Emily knows is the big reveal.
Do you see Melissa McCarthy's character tell her?
Yes.
In the previous episode.
Like she does at the end of the episode.
Oh, man. Because I was like, what an elegant way to find out who the person was that told her when she walks into that kitchen.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really good scripting that's how you find out.
Show, don't tell?
Yeah. But instead it was like, oh, you already knew.
Yeah. So in retrospect,
so you're just watching
a much
weaker
episode.
You're just watching a character find out stuff that you already, as the audience, know.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there's a lot of that too. And what's funny, we talked about this in Husky's episode.
Oh, that's so funny.
In on Netflix, they do not include Previously on Gilmore Girls,
yeah.
Even though they are on the DVDs,
right?
So the idea is like you'd binge it and you'd watch all of it. But for people who are watching for the first time or seeing an episode out of context or watching with their friends, it is not helpful to excise those.
They didn't
even think
about us doing a podcast. How rude.
There's a lot of, Netflix.
It wasn't
clearly
hard to mostly get up to speed there.
Right.
It was like,
it wasn't coming into like Lost season 4.
Yeah.
Something
like,
was
what
like,
the hell
who is,
happening?
Is that?
Yeah. A lot of people are sometimes confused about characters on the show. Did you have a sort of like, who's this, who's that moment of?
It literally, for a little while, I thought they were sisters.
Oh.
So did the guy at the beginning of the pilot. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The very first
There's
scene.
A weird guy who, like, tries to hit on them
really?
In a diner. And it's like, oh, yeah, mother and daughter, whoa. And it's like, she's 16. Oh, I gotta go. It's kind of gross.
Sounded exactly like that, too. Yeah.
So I thought they were sisters, and then I realized they weren't. And then, but otherwise, I think I pretty much, yeah. I don't know why the girls were mad at her.
Madeline, they're
Louise.
Just awful.
And Madeline, or is it Madeline or Louise?
I think they keep switching. I'm pretty sure. I could have
like
sworn
Ed Larry on the West Wing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But one of them isn't mad at her. And I thought that spoke to what you were talking about in the last one, where it's like, oh, it's like arbitrary why Madeline Louise would be mad at her.
I don't know.
And it, to them, it's arbitrary, too. So I thought it was actually kind of funny that they called that out, where it's like, wait, are we mad at you? I can't remember. Are we kind to you? I don't know.
The scene where she comes up and goes, hey, and it's like, Madeline, and it's like, okay, bye, was exactly there.
Yeah, and the little wave she gave her at the construction site.
Yeah.
That was cute. But, okay, so overall, it was okay for you. But knowing what you know now it's slightly below okay.
It is funny because I was like, I really, I was like, there's some elegant, like, little scripting things here. And now that I know that, I'm like, oh, no.
That's so good. Oh, my gosh.
Gilmore Girls is better when you haven't seen the previous episodes.
Yeah, if it's just like a strange fever dream.
That party, is that normal? Like, that was a gigantic party. They took over the town square.
I would say town square festivals and parties are pretty normal. Although, I did find it so funny. They were talking earlier in the episode, like, oh, the wedding's not going to cost that much. We'll have it at my house, and Suki's doing the cake, and blah, blah, blah. That party alone,
oh my God,
must have cost a few grand.
Oh, yeah. More than the flowers.
Thrones. I mean, well, let's
all
get
all that food, and then I mean,
let's get
crazy
into that party.
Yeah, also, does Suki just like all of this food that I'm preparing for the engagement party you don't know about? It's all on me. Like,
yeah, right, exactly.
The entire kitchen was taken over.
Maybe she's like laundering money from the inn.
Also, okay, so.
Yeah, do they run an inn? Is that part of it?
They run an inn together. Lorelai manages it.
So is that the premise? The two sisters or a mother and daughter running in?
Well, the mother runs the inn.
The mother runs the inn. The daughter goes to school.
It's kind of just her job. It's not really.
I see.
It's not really part of the premise.
Suki cooks and says, "Lorelai, you should do this.
Yeah.
Don't do this."
But
Lorelai,
there's no storylines about the inn. Like, it's not like.
There will be coming up, but
almost never,
actively,
or almost
not
none
really.
So far.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's so, but like, Suki is also the cook of the inn. And if she's preparing this food, where does she have time to prepare the food for the guests?
That was a lot of food.
It's so much. It takes over. It's literally like they do the full 360, and it's like every shelf has cookies.
Looks
or
beautiful.
Cakes. Oh, it looks incredible. Yeah. But it's also, she's cooking food for the entire town.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, the fact that the entire town's like, yeah, let her have the town square. Like, it seems like Lorelai's a much more important part of the town than anyone else.
She
in the
literally
town
is the queen, like
yeah,
she
yeah
said.
She was on a throne at that party.
Yes.
Those thrones were upsetting to look
they
at.
Were.
Yeah.
Imagine
like the whole
being
thing
at an engagement party and being like, all right, sit here for the entire night.
Yeah, and it's just pink everywhere. Yeah.
Surrounded by gifts.
Surrounded by a bunch of, like, I think there was an Easy Bake Oven. There's a Hello Kitty bag.
They think she's a child.
To me, it's like, all right, is this even Lorelai's taste up to this point? Like, she's a girly girl. Right. I know she put, like, little
Lorelai's
frills
taste
on the
is all over the place.
I guess it
yeah
is.
Yeah, that surprised me, too, because the way she'd been in the show up to that point, I was like, she makes hammers like that?
That's, no, that was totally out of character.
Yeah,
it seemed like a joke.
Yeah.
She seems very kind of earthy and, you know, like, she might cook a
reasonable
little bit, but kind
yeah
of like.
Well, no. That's actually a character trait of hers.
She doesn't, like,
she doesn't cook.
She doesn't cook. They just eat garbage all the time. They just eat pizza and Pop-Tarts, which they have a
and
sponsorship
watch Barbarella
with. And watch
Barbarella. Oh, they definitely have a sponsorship with Pop-Tarts. That's it's like every gosh episode's like, I'll make you a Pop-Tart.
So yeah, her making that is pretty weird.
The hammer?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
And also,
I would say
Rory using it is pretty weird.
Why wouldn't you say, oh no, I didn't bring a hammer. Do
right
you
yeah
have
exactly
one?
To me, when you when
keep
she put
in
that
the
in her
bag,
bag, I was like, that's never coming out of the bag.
No.
And then she's like, here.
Oh my gosh.
I imagine, like, I'm surprised we didn't get a scene of Paris coming in and be like, that's your hammer. But like,
yeah, there's a lot of unmined gold there.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments in the episode was the construction guy.
Tom.
Because
yes
is he a character on the show?
He becomes a character.
He
so
does.
This is the introduction of the guy.
I bet because
Tom
he nailed it.
Yeah. He
like,
was really,
he was
really
great
funny.
No pun intended.
He's yeah.
Ooh. He veiled it.
He veiled it. Because they gave him dialogue that's like how they talk, which was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like fast and like quick,
yeah,
quippy.
But he wasn't
but
cute at all.
He wasn't yeah, he just did it.
He had
it
some great like lines though, such as
he did it.
Hey, you're touching a man with a saw. You don't touch a man with a saw. What are you thinking?
I love that.
You touch
so
a man
much
with a saw. You don't touch a man with a saw. What are you thinking? Yeah, very. I'm walking here.
Come on. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
He's in, I tell you what, this is a little spoiler, but he's in Gilmore Girls and Bunheads.
Is he?
In what? Bunheads,
he's a favorite.
In Bunheads,
same character.
He also plays a construction worker of sorts.
He's not an actor. Like he's just a construction worker.
Oh,
he just shows
right.
up on the set. It's like, I gotta build
SAG.
A set. He builds the sets and then they just film around him.
We ran out of money. Can you? Yeah, okay. What are you gonna do?
I'm working.
It just improvised all this time. It'll be great. But the whole thing, I do remember watching it as a, not as a kid, but as a young man. I must have been 16 or 17 when I first saw this episode. And all the stuff Paris was saying about colleges freaked me out. Because I thought I wasn't, and I wasn't applying to Harvard. Clearly, look at me. I'm doing a podcast. I didn't go to Harvard.
Hey, people in Harvard do podcasts.
Name one person who went to Harvard that hosts a podcast. Plenty have been guests.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes. Like
that's
Conan.
An interesting theory.
People that
went to Harvard don't host podcasts. That's
they
interesting.
Don't.
Well, I.
Unless,
me
is
wrong.
There like a Harvard podcast?
That's really funny. It's a lowbrow art form.
Count.
It's a lowbrow art form.
Do you think, I mean, is it lowbrow or is it?
It's weird to think of it
brow.
As low or highbrow because I feel like it's just like anyone can do a podcast.
That's why people from Harvard.
Yeah, it's
do
accessible.
It. It's a common man's thing.
That's right. True. And the elitism of the Ivy League would prevent.
That's right.
Because such the appeal is it's free content. Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
We're just two dummies hosting a show.
It's a very 99% sort of medium.
That's
yeah.
right.
And they're the 1%. Let's talk about class. Let's let's just skip this episode.
Class
let's just
discussion.
Talk about what Obama's doing to this economy.
Wait, can you guys tell me about Ketchup Guy? Is he, what's his
Ketchup
deal?
Guy. I wish that was his nickname.
Oh, Luke?
His girlfriend was Ketchup Girlfriend.
Oh,
with
my
those
God.
Bottles.
She was. She was a mess.
But Ketchup Guy. Is Luke, him and Lorelai have a lot of ST, sexual tension.
Yes, very much so.
To the point where she's literally on thrones with her fiance and looking over longingly
yeah.
to Luke's to see what's up.
And leaves her own party to go in
leaves
and flirt
the party
with him.
To, yeah.
Her own engagement
I was
party.
Worried that that's when, so they're going to kiss.
That's where I was like, oh, she's not getting married.
Right, yeah.
You thought they were going to kiss in this house?
I was worried when she walked into the diner. I was like, oh, no, she's going to kiss him now. And
she's
going to
see the
ketchup
and get super turned on.
Yeah, and then Max is going to walk in and watch her kiss, and she'll be like, Max, and he'll just be like walking away silently, close the door and run after him, and then the rest of the party is a train wreck.
And then Bad Day comes on, a needle
yeah.
drop.
Yeah.
I think that from my one episode, I would say that's far more plot than they would be.
Yeah, they would have ruined it in the synopsis, first of all.
Truly a show where not a lot occurs, right?
It's yeah. the Seinfeld.
Not much happened
of...
in this episode.
Right. No, Seinfeld has... That's a misnomer about
it
Seinfeld.
It really is.
Seinfeld yeah. has a shit ton of plot.
It's too much happens.
Yeah, a lot. Seinfeld
people
is like 60.
Seinfeld.
There's always at least three plots happening in Seinfeld.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
But this is like... I'm trying to think of like what the best comparison to this kind of show would be. Where it's literally... You're just kind of floating lazily. It's like floating on the lazy river. I think someone on this show said that before. Floating on the lazy river.
It's like Brothers and Sisters.
Okay, the Ally McBeal show.
Yeah.
Calista Flockhart, right?
Yeah. I was like, Ally, yeah.
I didn't watch Brothers
I never saw
and
that
Sisters.
Either.
My mom was big into it, so I caught huh? episodes here and there. I think my mom was into Gilmore Girls too, which is my only familiarity
Whoa.
With it. But, yeah, she does not listen to this podcast though.
Is she going to?
I hope not. I hope she doesn't hear me go and like, yeah, fuck the Gilmore Girls.
I don't know if we've ever said F the GGs.
I'll
have
say
we?
It.
Oh, don't.
No, I won't.
No, they're perfectly
Brothers
nice.
Brothers and Sisters is a very, like, flighty sort of, not much plot, but then there's, like, a big plot point that happens and takes over the season, smaller plot points in between. And there's always the threat of someone getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Parenthood's, like, too much plot for me, I would say.
Apparently everyone on Parenthood is just terrible now.
Everyone just lies and cries on Parenthood.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that either.
Liars
it's like,
cries.
It's there's some really good moments where it's like, oh, this was definitely made by the people who did Friday Night Lights. Because that's an amazing show in a lot of ways. Yeah. In some ways it sucks, but what show doesn't? But Parenthood for the most
what
part
What show
is,
doesn't suck?
What show doesn't in some ways,
oh, okay.
right?
Sure.
Maybe
right.
Breaking Bad, I don't know. No, it has its flaws.
Even Breaking Bad did.
Oh, what would you say about Breaking Bad sucks?
Oh, no, I love Breaking Bad, but there was definitely things about it that didn't work.
Some like, weaker stuff?
Yeah.
I would say the twins. In season three,
oh, the Axe
yes.
twins?
Where they would just like look at each other and they're supposed to be super.
There's
friendly.
Definitely some hokey stuff in that.
In that yeah, season, that they show. Got very much into like the specialty intros with like the mariachi
the
bands.
The music video of the mariachi.
And I was like,
yeah.
I get what you're trying to do, but I don't think it works very well.
Mm-mm. It's all right for me, dog.
All right for me too, dog.
Yeah. This is a good Breaking Bad discussion, though.
Yeah, Breaking Bad Buddies podcast is going to be exciting. If you heard that, that was my ringtone.
Someone else.
Yeah, that was Kanye.
Well, should we get into the fashion report real quick?
I think we should.
All right.
Fashion.
Cool. Well, I would say I really like Lorelai's dress.
That was not pre-recorded.
No,
it was not.
Live, that was a live performance.
I can't remember what our lie is about this. It's like, oh yeah, we tape it and then we do it. Yeah. Or if we record.
We just put that in there later. No.
Spoiler, we do.
It's all.
It's true.
It's all straight to tape here.
S2T. Emily was rocking some Hepburn-esque high waters, I will say.
What are high waters?
Like the high water pants she was wearing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when Lorelai. Yeah. And Max, Lorelai comes over like a maniac. We'll get to that in a second.
That was a good scene.
That was a very good scene.
Yeah.
But sure, maybe I don't remember, but they just struck me as very, like the pants were like
Urkel-y?
Yes. She almost asked if she did that in the scene, if I remember
did
correctly.
Did I do that?
Lorelai, did I do that? Suki is dressed like a geisha at one point.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? Was that normal?
I don't know.
Because she's not cooking Asian food.
She's not.
It's
but
half
she's a
normal.
Chef? I don't
she
know.
She just kind of dresses in very loose sort of anything that a chef could wear, but patterned.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, it struck me as very odd. Dean comes to the shower.
Ugh.
We don't like Dean.
Which one's Dean?
Dean the is boyfriend. Rory's BF. Yeah.
He was.
Yeah,
all...
I couldn't figure his deal out. He looked like the dude from Smallville.
Tom Welling.
I thought you were
going to
say Supernatural. I was like, oh, he is.
Yeah,
but
spoiler alert.
He last season, at the end of the season, he got better as being like a full-fledged character with like emotions and stuff. And now he's back to just being like this puka shell.
He's just a whiny dude.
Who hates ambition.
Right. At the end of last season, he was all of like he was reading and like all of their discussions were about the books they were reading. And now it's just like, I don't know. I'm not even going to a nice college.
Yeah. Man. What was his line? Summer's the time to chill and just hang out with your bros or whatever it was. Like he... Oh my gosh, he was just such a, and it's like, we're talking about, what, a 16 or 17 year old?
Yeah.
I just want to shake him and be like, no, support your girlfriend.
Right.
She's freaking out, obviously.
Can't hang out or kick back. I need to find a retarded kid and teach him how to play softball.
Oh, let's talk about that. Yeah. Dropping the R-bomb.
What a weird line.
Dropping an R-bomb on the WB.
Sometimes they get very,
It was still okay back then.
Yeah,
you could say it.
They have a lot of 2001 in this show too.
A lot of weird, kind of vaguely like, homophobic. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like it's the kind of thing where in the time it's like, oh, it's not yet bad, but I mean, it's still like
it's
watching back.
Bad.
It's always bad.
Yeah.
But it's like if we were to watch a show from the 80s and they were like Asian people, and we just like, oh,
right,
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, exactly.
More extreme version of that.
I didn't buy that. That's how any 16-year-old would act, like especially some hot guy. It's going to come over and just be like, but I thought we'd hang out all day.
I didn't feel for him at all in that argument. It's like, let her do her thing. You know how she is. Like,
also, it's like, call. Don't just show up at
that's
the house.
True.
Right, yeah.
But that's call less cinematically interesting,
yeah,
I guess.
Dean's got a problem with
breaking and entering.
Yeah.
He just likes to show up.
He sometimes just shows up at her window, just like knocking on the door.
As does Lane. They have a very lax open door policy.
Yeah. Everyone in
where Lane was like surprised to see Rory at her own house at one point in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, you're here. All right. But Dean,
I was just packing my giant suitcase.
Yeah. And then, what I was gonna say about Dean is when he's at the shower, the kid's got to be a medium. He's wearing a large shirt, two buttons unbuttoned, puka shells.
I think he thinks for events, you got to show up with a shirt where everything in the top is unbuttoned. Because he did that when he met the grandpa last episode.
And it went not well. So
no.
I don't know why he would repeat that behavior.
I think this time it's going to work. Yeah.
Maybe this is a little bit shallow. So correct me if it is. Rebuke me, to use a biblical term. This is a Christian podcast, after all. But Lorelai, it's not. It's okay. Lorelai's shower dress looks like a maternity dress. A little bit. Like, it was just real kind of, I don't know. It just seemed floppy. I don't know. And honestly, Lauren Graham just, up to this point, everything has looked pretty good on her.
I don't know if that's shallow. I'm having trouble remembering.
Yeah, it was just kind of baggy.
Can I ask a question about the party? Did I miss that it was a secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was never a plot point where it was like Rory was disappointed that the secret was blown?
That Lorelai was disappointed?
No, that Rory was.
Oh.
Because there's a whole thing where it's like, shh, don't let her know about the party. It's a secret.
Oh, I mean.
And then there's never.
I guess there was never a plot point.
It's just like she goes in the kitchen and like, oh yeah, it was supposed to be a secret. And then they just have a party.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, there's less going on here than you even think.
It's like the whole town was in on it. It's like we never saw the town go, oh, she already knows. We didn't get to say surprise or
I think they only
anything.
Had her. Like, I think they
what
only
is
had
the scenario, too, where it's like a surprise
the
party?
Town square party? Town
like, does she wear a blindfold and go into the gazebo? I don't, yeah. I could, well, I guess that's been the fashion report. Fashion. Cool.
But I think the only reason they had Rory even mention that Lane should be quiet is to be like to the audience, like, remember the surprise party that's happening? Like, for us. Just a reminder, which is such a weird.
Quick catch him up.
Yeah.
One thing I did like about this episode that has nothing to do with the episode content, Liza Weil, Lisa Wheel. Paris is in the opening credits now.
Is.
Yay.
And so is Jared Padalecki.
So she's here. He was last episode, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I hope he's... Is that a season thing, you think? I mean, no spoilers, but is he in the opening credits because he's going to be here the entire season?
He will be here the entirety of season two. Sorry.
Whatever.
I know. It's a bummer.
Look, at least Chad Michael Mudfez is out.
Yeah, he's Gonzo. Well, he's in one more episode, but then he's Gonzo.
Chad Michael Murray is like this other guy who has a crush on Rory, but he's also like the biggest asshole.
I see.
And there's some moments where we're supposed to be endeared to him, but like he's awful, so we never
get Kate hated him, if that gives you any indication.
He's the worst.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah.
Other things I liked about this episode. Were there any characters you genuinely like had a... Our favorite... Well, I won't speak for you. My favorite... That's probably yours too. I won't speak for you. Our favorite character is Emily. The grandma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The dame.
In the part that I saw, I felt bad for her at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt not bad, but I guess I felt for her at the end. I thought that was a nice scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
But in the early scene, I was like, didn't like her at all.
Oh, yeah, because she was just being a cold.
Yeah.
Oh, and with no context, you just thought she was being like...
I was like, I assume she's a cruel woman. Yeah. I assume she must always be like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if she was always like that? She's like, I have to eat fast. I'm not talking.
I thought it was just like, oh, the mom on this show is kind of a jerk.
Right.
And cold toward her daughters. I thought that was just like what it was.
Yeah.
And she is kind of cold, but in a fun way. In a more fun way than what is demonstrated.
So she was mad because we... And you knew why she was mad.
Exactly.
We should do a podcast where... We have people watch like the middle of an episode out of context and talk about that.
This 5 minutes. Like, speak on that. What do you think is going on here? Connect the dots.
What's with the hatch in this show? I'm lost.
But that was a really nice moment when the Tiara moment was nice.
It was teared up. I'm not kidding. Why do I do this? There were two tear up moments in this. I watched it an hour ago. They're very fresh.
There was a tear up moment almost when Lorelai is like getting it all out there with Max in the doorway. Which, by the way, I just kept thinking about Max just being in the doorway, like with his hands in his pockets. Like,
if it was made now, you would just see him checking his phone.
Yeah, just like gonna tweet like, oh, at the girlfriend's awkward. That was such a nice moment of like strong emotion where Lorelai, like, we don't see that very often from Lorelai, where she's just like letting everything out and just like she's not trying to be so cool and quirky. Mm-hmm. She's just like breaking down, and it was
great.
She's
very much a little girl.
All right, I'm going to bed now.
Why is it that when your only daughter tells you that she is getting married, you can't muster up even a little enthusiasm, even a little fake enthusiasm? Why don't you pretend that you care? I mean, this is the biggest thing to happen to me possibly for the rest of my life, and you dismissed it. Like I said, hey, I'm thinking of getting a Honda. What do you think?
You're obviously hysterical.
Why don't you care? Why have you never cared? No matter what has happened to me my entire life, you've never been happy for me, and that hurts, Mom. It really hurts.
I'm not discussing this with you.
Do you know how it felt for me to tell you that I was getting married and to have you just brush it off like that? Do you know?
No, I don't. I don't know. Possibly very similar to finding out from a complete stranger that my only daughter was getting married and had told every other person in the world before she bothered to tell her own mother. Possibly it felt something like that.
It's very raw. Those two actresses, those are always the best scenes in every episode.
They really
are.
They
binary.
These were the best scenes in this, for sure.
Yeah.
This is also one of the first times that an episode is like self-contained itself, with the conflict being at the beginning and then resolving at the end. Because sometimes it just travels over into the next few episodes and it's kind of tiring.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's like we'll watch an episode with a guest and it's like, oh, we're in the middle of this conflict. It'll get resolved.
I did appreciate that Max was like, let's go somewhere else and have a drink.
Yeah.
And then he drives to a house. and never goes like, where are we? Like,
maybe,
he drives.
Yeah. Maybe he's driving. Thought it was a speakeasy.
I think he figured when she was when she was giving him the turn by turn, I'm sure in his mind he was like, oh, we're going to the house, aren't we? Because he parks
maybe
the driveway.
He's learned to deal with it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he has to. If he's going to marry this woman, but he's not.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with, and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is of course due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My other tear-up moment, besides that's what I wore, the tiara, was when Emily closes the door at the end of the act, and it like cross-dissolves on her crying. Or you see her face, you can barely see it, but it does occur where she like starts to cry, but then it fades out real quick.
Earlier in the episode, you mean?
At the end of that scene where Lorelai's like, you've never been happy for me.
And your two crying moments were immediate after each other?
No, because then
the tiara's
at the end.
By the way, a tiara, is that a thing at a wedding? Like, do people actually do that?
I don't know. I guess so.
I think I've seen it in pictures.
Hmm.
Did Kate wear a tiara?
No.
I don't think she wore
a veil either, though. I don't think.
The veils are very extravagant to me. Like, it seems like, I mean, Emily Gilmore, I feel like, would wear a veil, but I don't think Lorelai would. I don't know.
She was trying on newspapers at the beginning of the app.
I know, but I'm saying, like, in a real, like, if Lorelai were a real person, which she's not.
She's real to us, too.
She's real to us. But, like, I can't imagine her wearing a veil. I imagine her just being like, oh, just the dress is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Veils are kind of old-fashioned now.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know, maybe when this came out, they were still more in fashion, but now they're like...
2001?
Also, this show...
In a pre-9/11 world, they're
this
very...
This is just...
Post-9/11 at this point.
Oh, it is.
Pre-9/11 shooting and writing, post-9/11 airing.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's complicated, wow. I guess. I don't know.
The world had changed.
Imagine if there's a line in this episode like, oh, we should go visit New York. Yeah, good time for that.
Well, what's...
And then 4 days later...
Yeah. What's weird is
where's it set? Connecticut?
It's set in Connecticut, but Luke, I don't know if there's been a line in an episode before, but it is established for sure later that his family's in New York.
Oh, really?
So Hope man. They're okay.
See, in a real time, I wish the show were the kind of thing where it's like, oh, there's a week turnaround, like a South Park sort of thing. And then we'd have a... I mean, yeah. I don't actually...
This show is all about current... I mean, it is about current events, actually.
Oh, this Putin arms race is really... Putin. I said that weird.
Putin. It's
really
getting...
I'm sick. I've been sick for 3 episodes now.
You've been sick, dude?
Yeah.
Dude.
You can't tell from me going... every few minutes?
Well, you were coughing, but I didn't know you were, like, legit sick.
I'm dying. So...
I'm just glad we're not doing Ebola jokes anymore.
Oh,
glad
my
those
God.
Are over, right?
Okay, I'm going to delete half of these notes.
Oh,
then.
No.
I did have a line written down. Luke is a real-life grumpy cat. Which
That's
I'm,
true. Oh, when
he's
he,
the worst.
When he goes on and on about the wedding stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
That was he's getting into a weird character of being, like, pragmatic but still an asshole.
Like, yeah.
Before
well, the,
he's all...
the grumpy hippie sort yeah. of thing.
Which one's Luke? Is he ketchup guy?
He's yeah. ketchup guy.
He's
let's refer to him from the rest of the episode as ketchup guy.
Got
now.
It.
So yeah, ketchup guy goes on and on about why weddings are terrible.
Yeah, he's a huge cynic about them.
The whole time, even from the beginning of the teaser till the end, it seems like Lorelai likes the idea of marriage more than marriage. Like when she's out to dinner with Max, she doesn't seem to enjoy him that much.
No.
No. They have no chemistry.
They really don't.
They have, yeah, next to no chemistry, or if any at all.
To the point that when they were at the party dancing and they kiss, I started thinking about, oh man, these actors have to kiss each other. Like, that's how little chemistry they had. It's
maybe
like,
they hated each other.
I forgot they were characters in that moment, because there's something about it that I was like, I started literally going like, I wonder what this dude's like when he's not on camera, because I was like, I don't think they like each other.
Probably not.
Well, let's get this actor on the, who played Max?
Al Pacino meets Dustin Hoffman.
That's kind of true. Oh my
Isn't
gosh.
It?
Did you kind of nail it just now?
I think I did.
All right, so Dustin Pacino, come on the show. We love you.
We love you. And David Schwimmer.
They're my sandwich.
Is that... Who is that? Al Pacino or David Schwimmer?
Our sandwich. No, the
my
part
sandwich.
The part in Friends where someone eats his sandwich that he was really looking forward to that he left in the fridge. Nope. All right. The other thing about the shower was I really did have to laugh. There were two like 80s movie montage moments. Maybe that's a bad point
oh,
of reference.
Oh, yeah, where like...
Waving uh-huh. and no dialogue. Just yeah. like, I think everything's going to be all right.
Like heavy 80s guitar, yeah. She's All That music.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was She's All That music.
Yeah.
There was one... Guys, go to the... If you watch this on Netflix before or after, if you've already seen it, it's worth going back for. Go back to the beginning of the shower, of the wedding shower. The establishing shot where it pans over from right to left to where Lane is doing the DJ stuff.
Yeah.
There is one background player on the dance floor who looks like Andy Dick, who's losing his ever-loving mind.
Oh, the guy who's dancing a lot?
Dancing his heart out.
Oh, my God. I noticed that guy. So it was such a quick shot, but
distracting.
He's just going for it.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
And her friend was DJing, right?
Yeah.
And then left for Korea from that party?
Yeah.
Yeah, what part of that doesn't make sense? I don't see the problem,
we're
Anthony.
Asking people to watch this out of context. It's just like, oh, when's your flight? 2 hours from now.
Because there's a shot where she's sitting with her boyfriend and she sees her friend getting in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just wave. He's going to Korea. No hug. No.
Nope.
Just like,
I mean,
just see ya.
I mean, I guess they had said their goodbyes. I don't
yeah,
know.
But
I did
like
have that feeling too. Where
oh,
like,
you left your DJ equipment here.
I also had the thought
this
of
is
like,
Kim will clean it up.
Your flight is in 2 hours and you're like, no, I can DJ this party. I'll do it.
I owe it to the fans.
Yeah. Lane is a very complicated character. I think, like, in a real...
Complex.
The thing is, she's complex, but she's also so... She's a bit character, pretty much. And she has
right.
storyline moments. But at the same time, like, I feel like if she were a real person, she'd be so funny. Because, like, here's a picture of me now. Here's a picture of me in 6 months of what I should look like. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's
but
a good bet.
If it were a real person, it's just like, you were... Like, what are you doing? Are you seriously going to Korea? Like, what's up with your parents?
Where are your parents?
Where are your parents? Her mom is insane and sending her to Korea for 6 months, but hasn't bought her a return ticket, so she's worried that she's never coming back.
And her dad is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, is this how they're writing her out of the episode for a few months? I'm sure.
I don't recall.
Or is it
so
the kind
I can't
of thing
give
where
spoilers.
She, I feel like it's the kind of thing where she runs away from the airport or something.
Yeah.
Which would be very
Kiko
exciting.
Kiko and Gina just wanted too much money.
Yeah.
It was kind of a Mardo situation on Arrested Development.
Yeah.
They're going to have to recast her. We did have one Q from Twitter. Did you have something else you wanted to talk about?
I do, but after, or is Q last?
Q's whenever. Okay. I don't know when to put the to Q's.
Dude, we don't even care.
Who cares? So this comes from Aubrey Fight at Fight to the Finish.
Ooh, good
love
name.
It, Aubrey. Her Q. We only got like one Q. I think we got another from Poop Doctor, but I'm not going to read that one.
Oh, come on, Poop Doctor.
Yeah,
we have someone on Twitter who's a fan of the show named Poop Doctor, and
he asks the best questions. Actually,
can we have Poop Doctor on the show?
Poop Doctor, we love you. Come on the show. Aubrey's question is: were you surprised by how upset Emily and Richard were when Lorelai didn't tell them about her engagement to Max? Now, I wasn't upset at Emily, but Aubrey seems to categorize it Emily and Richard. I feel like Richard has no feeling on it whatsoever.
Richard glossed over the fact that his daughter was getting married pretty quickly because his granddaughter was mad at him. That was more important.
It that's such a good point.
Yeah.
You know, that raises the, because in the previous episode,
right.
I mean, and throughout the whole series, it's established like Rory is the great white hope of the Gilmore clan because Lorelai threw her life away, got pregnant, didn't get married, but Rory's going to Harvard and she's gonna be you know, this journalist and blah, yeah, blah 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 blah. So her grandparents have so much more love and affection for her than they do for Lorelai. So it is interesting that Richard gives so much of a shit about his relationship, right, with Rory and has zero dialogue about anything having no, to do with Lorelai. He's not present in those scenes at all.
He's the kind of guy who walks on set for 2 days and is like, all right, I gotta go. Just write out all the other stuff I did.
Oh, yeah, that dude works one day a week.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Special appearance, bye.
And yeah, he wears a bow tie.
I wonder if he's paid more per episode than Alexis or Lauren.
No.
You don't think?
No. In no world would Alexis or Lauren allow that to happen, I think. Not like they're divas or
maybe
something.
Maybe they didn't
but
tell
it's
them.
Like, I'm sure, yeah, probably not. But it's like if you were on a show and there was a guy, like if you were on a show with Tom Cruise and you're the regular.
TC.
He's a fan of the show.
Sure.
Friend of the show, Tom Cruise. No. If you were on a show with Tom Cruise and you were like literally the star and Tom Cruise shows up for a day and he gets paid more, do you think, are you like...
He would get paid more.
He would totally get paid
that's
more.
That's probably a bad example because it's Tom Cruise.
Maybe a B-lister. Rob Schneider.
Is that guy famous?
Rob Schneider.
The granddad?
He's in a lot of stuff, but
he's
I've never
character
heard of
actor,
him.
He's a character actor, but special appearance by Twitter, if you can crack the code of this for us, or yeah, write us in.
You're right. The fact that he got that into his contract is interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Like, because he's not like... It's not like, oh, Martin Sheen. Or,
yeah, it's not right, like, oh, we got to watch.
Not that he's bad. I really like him. I think he's great. But
think of it in Mulaney's sense. Like, on Mulaney's show, he's the star. Do you think he makes more than Elliot Gould, who is in any episode for maybe 5 minutes?
That's a better example.
Yeah. Or Martin Short.
Or Martin Short.
A lot of Mulaney references in general on this podcast.
Look, I'm a big fan of Mulaney. We reference three things. Mulaney, Scandal, and They Came Together, which I finally started watching the other night.
Yeah?
I got 40 minutes in, then I got tired. It was 4 a.m.
Did you watch it? It was really good.
They Came Together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I thought everyone
super
in
funny.
It.
Super funny.
You can say that again.
Mm. That
my God,
was
so funny.
That was Letterman-esque how many times they did that.
It was insane.
Yeah.
If you guys are watching this, They Came Together is a very funny movie. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but if it is, check it out.
It's on iTunes. David Wayne, love you.
Pay
come
for
on
it,
the
actually.
Show.
Don't. What am I saying?
Exactly.
David Wayne, oh my God, please come on the show.
I do like during the shower, we finally get some good old-fashioned Miss Patty.
We do. There's a weird moment of, like, sexual tension with her and Kurt where she's, like, looking... Like, Kurt has no tension with anyone whatsoever.
Maybe a little bit of a foreshadow.
Oh,
I
no.
Don't know.
Am I
being coy for no reason?
Miss Patty is the dance instructor. She was the one who's like, and a one, and a two. And
oh, yeah.
She sounds like the owl.
Who's the megaphone guy?
Megaphone guy's Kirk. Sean Gunn, brother to James Gunn, who directed Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
He's going on to big things.
Yeah, and he's, I gotta learn his name, because we keep referencing it, but he's Blue Guy's henchman in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
He has a fun southern accent.
Yeah.
But who is he on the show? What is his character?
He's just a townie.
The townie of all trades.
Yeah,
literally townie of all trades.
He has a new job, like, every episode.
New job every ep.
Miss Patty is the dance instructor. She's weirdly hypersexual.
Try a plum. They're better than sex.
That's one of her lines. But she also, I don't know, she just like hits on everybody. So when she has this weird moment of dancing with Kirk and it's like she doesn't say anything, but she has this like look. It's like
her sexual energy is indiscriminate.
Yeah.
It is multi-directional.
For someone who works so strongly with children, it's insane.
Yeah.
But one thing that I thought about.
You know what I've just realized? We didn't ever. Did we answer Aubrey's question?
What was the question?
Were you surprised about how upset they were? Richard wasn't upset. Emily, I wasn't that surprised.
I wasn't surprised that she was upset. I could tell that was going to be the plot point.
Asked and answered,
as a matter
Aubrey.
Of fact, if they didn't mention it, I would be like, "What happened? Why aren't you upset that your daughter didn't tell you she was getting married?"
Exactly.
Although, I feel like she's not allowed to be upset that she told everyone else first. Like, I mean, she went to Stars Hollow. She knows that it's a gossip town. And obviously she told Rory first, and obviously she was probably going to tell them at the dinner. So the previous dinner was the dinner when Richard blew up over
the boy.
So, and they left early because of that. I feel like if that didn't happen, she probably would have told them. So for Emily,
I think so. That was a huge wedge.
Yeah.
They were and doing also, all right.
She eventually told them. Like, she told them the very next time they saw them. So it wasn't like, I'm keeping a secret from you. It was just kind of like, I need time to sort of... Also, Emily's the kind of person where if she told them and there wasn't, like... she probably still would have been like, oh, who is this man? Like, I don't even know him. Like, she would have been mad about it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I do think that there's fault on both sides, though.
Yeah.
Because for Lorelai... The way she characterizes her family is like she just really demonized it. What's the line she had where it's like, my problem with family is that they're a family or something like that?
Yeah, she's like, my problem with family is that they're there.
That they exist.
Yeah.
But there's ways that you can, and I know like she always says like, I've tried everything, I give up, blah, 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 blah. But there's ways in which you can communicate and you just need to know how.
Yeah.
And so for her to, I don't know, I just think there's fault on both sides. Team Emily forever, I guess. The long and short of it.
I'm Team Rory. I'm detached from this. I go Rory. For the dinners and leave when you get mad about my boyfriend. Max's parents give him a check for $35 for the wedding.
And Lorelai says, that's cute.
Yeah, which is the proper response, I guess. Yeah. But also, that it's...
Also, Max's mom's real fat?
Is she?
Is that what
is that hinted at?
Implied?
Because she wants her to wear a wedding dress.
Oh, yeah.
And he says it's three times too big for you.
Right.
Oh.
Which is, Max, don't insult your mama.
I did not catch that line.
He says it's three times too big.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I just told her that you're going to wear your mom's dress. And then it gets into that thing of like, oh, I couldn't do that.
Do you think Lorelai ever gets married in this show?
No.
Demi, if you had to give a prediction?
No. Independent woman forever.
All right.
Don't give me that.
All right, Demi. This is a fun thing we do where I just say,
it's not fun.
Demi, do you think this will happen? And I know. And then he says, oh, maybe, or I don't know. Or
I'm not
yes.
playing your trick. She doesn't get married. Right. How is it not a huge deal that Rory's mother is marrying Rory's teacher?
Oh, like Headmaster Charleston from
How
Chilton.
How is no one mentioning it?
Because, yeah.
That's what Max is.
He's
Max
Rory's
is,
teacher.
Yeah, that's how they met.
At their private school.
Yeah, Rory would have a problem with that, I would think.
I mean,
Rory's fine with it, but I would say the headmaster would definitely have some words.
And Emily would have some words. Richard would definitely be like, that's not proper. I don't, like...
Richard.
I can't believe it's not even been like a minor.
Study. He's fine. Yeah. He's
Richard's
so
passive.
Checked out.
He's got insurance to deal with.
Yeah. Business.
But
hashtag Christopher. That should be more of a...
It's so weird that no one mentions it and like no one's has a problem with it. It's not even like a quiet line of weird. Like Rory doesn't even make a joke. It's like, I hope I get A's now. It's like they just kind of forgot that he is the teacher, which is
they
fair.
They do drop that.
They
He's
do.
Just, he totally just becomes a guy.
Which
He's
is...
just a guy. The teacher dynamic is not... Well, I guess because it's the summer. I don't know.
I guess that's true. Summer's for chilling and relaxing.
Yeah, not for teacher law.
Yeah.
Gosh,
back when school's in session, it'll be a huge problem.
That's right.
I imagine they get married and Max goes, oh, I forgot you're my student or something.
Did you think overall, because this is usually our guests agree that like the drama works, but sometimes they don't agree that the comedy works on the show. I think we found that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just thinking of Husky. I don't know. But
I think the comedy is cheesy, but sometimes it works, and I don't know if that's just because
it's cheesy, but some of the jokes were okay.
Right. Some of the jokes were right. All right.
I think these jokes are iffy.
Did the drama or the comedy work better for you?
I would say the drama, the stuff between her and her mom worked, was the best part.
Concur.
For sure.
Yeah.
But after that, it had to be the comedy because there was nothing else happening.
So. Right.
That's true. What is drama if there's zero conflict?
I mean, the Rory storyline to me was just a bunch of nothing. It's like, who cares if she ghosts and hammers? Who cares about, you said you'd hang out with me. Like,
it's the kind of thing.
But to you, it's not enjoyable to watch, even just as like, oh, we're just chilling with Tom and Paris, who's super intense.
Paris also.
I guess because I don't know the characters, it wasn't. Like, maybe if I already,
I guess
already,
so.
Like,
yeah,
if I already liked the characters, but.
Paris
isn't really good.
Explains a lot to Rory for someone she supposedly can't stand. Like, she tells her every, like,
she's very helpful.
Yeah, she's very
incredibly so.
What's the word? Like,
for instructional,
expository. She's just like, here's why this is important to me, and here's why it should be important to you too. And then she's like, I also don't like you. Like, bye. I don't know. Paris is kind of getting back on my nerves. They used to be like. Paris started off as like an enemy, and then she's becoming good friends with her, and then this Chad Michael Murray came into the picture and ruined everything, then they're back to super low, and I want it to be back to Paris being this sort of nice girl who's like just bitter but still happy.
And still takes pleasure in Lorelai punishing her friends in New York City. Yeah. Callback. So overall, if we were to rate this episode.
Oh, wait. We didn't even talk about Michelle at all.
Oh, Michelle's first line in Act 3 or Act 4 is,
I don't care. Yeah. Michelle is the guy at the desk at the inn who doesn't give a shit about the cookies. Yeah. He is like, that's not like, he's not having a bad day. That's him all the time.
Yeah, that's him constantly.
See. Right.
I see.
And I don't know why he's in the opening credits. I've been thinking about that. If he's in the credits, Kirk should be in the credits.
I think it's a diversity thing. Because he's as much a part of it as Kirk. Well, Kirk does become a part of the opening credits, but.
But like he.
I think it's just.
He does nothing. He contributes nothing to the plot. He only gives the lines of like, I don't care, and isn't that so endearing to me as a character? And
we did get an interesting piece of mail about Michelle.
Did we?
Actually.
We've been talking a lot about whether or not he is representative of the black community on this show because of how there's such little diversity in the show, which is sort of,
it's Connecticut.
It's true to Connecticut, but it's false to
it's false to television.
To our world.
Yeah.
So, quick Gil Mail Guys segment from Katie. Thanks for writing in, Katie. She said, really enjoying the podcast, grew up with Gilmore Girls, and super pumped when it came to Netflix. After all the talk about Yannick Truesdale's background on the podcast, I was curious to hear his natural speaking voice, and I found this video in which he self-identifies as black. So, mystery solved, ?
I think mystery solved. I don't think
I think we solved it, but final confirmation. Because the big topic was, is Michelle black?
Oh, is he black?
Because he seems
he's like
more
French,
but he did seem Moroccan a little bit, Husky pointed
which
out.
Which is black, but at the same, it's black. It's Egyptian, essentially, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think the question is whether or not he's black. I think it's whether or not it's like
we choose to call him.
Yeah, I think it's whether or not we choose to accept that like he's representative of all the race. Like, here's the race of Stars Hollow. Yeah. It's this guy that you don't like
because he's the token French guy. He's not the token black guy.
Right.
He's
right.
Not like,
black
yeah,
is not a part of his character at all. It's just
black people.
He could very easily be the white and French guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So which is inessential.
Yeah, but I guess it's not like no one else. Lane is really the only person whose race is part of their character, and that's because it's a big thing. They're like, my parents are strict. Huh. Asians.
Right.
And, am I right?
Yeah, which is I'm not happy about. But at the same time, it's like, what else is there to give Miss Kim besides her antique shop if she's not some sort of a parent? Anyway.
If we were to rate the episode.
Yes.
What would you give it? We have a different rating system every episode. Each of us come up with a different way to rate
it.
Something out of five somethings.
Yeah.
So we'll go around the horn. I'll start. I enjoyed the episode. There's no part of it I found too offensive other than the implausibility of the surprise shower in the middle of the town square.
The world's biggest surprise shower in the world's smallest town.
Yeah.
With gossipy people.
I wanted more townie moments in this one.
I did too.
We were a little short on townies, unfortunately. I miss Babette and Maury. They haven't been season 2
yet. Oh my
yet.
God, that's true.
Right?
Sally Struthers and her...
Really? She's recurring on the show. And she's,
oh my God.
She is... hilarious. She is so good on the show.
One thing that's great about the townies is also they're pretty much like cartoon characters and that they wear the same thing every time you see them. And her husband always wears these glasses, like these Matrix sunglasses, and a ska hat. A
fedora.
Yeah, a fedora. And then they're like this black jacket. And he just talks like, keep cool, daddy-o. And that's
stay
all we know.
Stay cool, Rory.
Yeah, stay cool, Rory.
Tuck and roll, mama.
Oh my God. It's all hilarious. Yeah. But we haven't seen him in so long.
Did you have a favorite line before we read it, by the way?
My favorite line was probably the thing about, "You, what are you doing? I got a saw here. You can't mess with a man with a saw."
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
I liked when Emily said, "Are you drunk?" Tickled me. I don't know why.
Anytime Rory, or anytime Emily is just
says
like,
anything.
Yeah, no, anytime Emily says anything is great.
Why do I respond to that so much? Why do I cry when she cries? Why am I so...
You're very in tune with Emily.
I am, and I can't tell you why. It's not like, oh, because my mom's like Emily. Like, I have no point she's of just, reference for this.
I think as a character, she's very much... Because, I mean, if Lorelai and Rory are the center, then getting outside of the center is a very sort of... Like, seeing someone outside of the center break down mm-hmm. and have it be powerful is strong. Like, if Rory and Lorelai break down, it's like, no, yeah, every episode, this is the thing.
Yeah, checks
but
out.
If Emily, who is a strong character but also not the central character, breaks down, it's like, oh, my God. Ah, Emily, my heart.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, my heart's sick.
All right, you've justified it for me.
I have.
So I'm going to give this episode 3.5. You know what? No, because of the Emily stuff, I'm gonna give it 3.75 out of 5 thrones.
I don't know why we should just go up to 10, but this is
no,
funner. No, okay.
Oh no, we can do 10.
I'll give it 1.144 out of 2. No, I think this is a very solid episode. It's one of the few that just self-contains itself. I think that this is the first episode where I have like emotional beats. And it comes to a conclusion at the end, and they can start wherever they want for the next episode. It's not carrying over something. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 puka shell necklaces.
Oh, Dean.
Who?
Anthony, based on the total lack of context from any other episode of the series.
Based on not being very confused.
How would you rate this one episode of Gilmore Girls?
Before I found out what the last one was, yeah. I would have said 4 out of 5. Pink hammers.
Ooh.
But
hammers and veils.
Now I'm going to say 3 out of 5 newspaper veils.
Ooh. Change it from hammers to veils.
Yeah.
I love it.
From hammers to veils.
We should have done that. Anthony, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at The Anthony King.
The Anthony King. On the Grams as well, Instagram.
Also on Instagram. Also on Tumblr, theanthonyking.com.
I don't know how to use Tumblr at all.
I'll teach you.
And we have a Tumblr for this show.
Oh, it's not going well.
We have like 7 followers, but we never post anything.
Who's following us on? Why?
Some very kind people who are just supporting the show.
Don't follow us.
Unfollow us. That's our plug. Unfollow us from
Get it trending. Unfollow Gilmore. No, don't do that.
Yeah. And talk about your podcast. Don't get me started. Now, I've listened to this podcast, it's really great.
It's really fun.
It.
I host it with Will Hines, and the point of it is it's called Don't Get Me Started. We talk to talented people, not about what they do, but about what they love. So the idea is like some topic that if it was brought up at a party, you would be like, oh, don't get me started because I have so much I want to say about that.
Right.
So it's been really fun. We have covered the gamut from music people love. DC Pearson did Kanye West, which was a really great episode.
I listened to that. That was great.
But also, like, we had Sissy Fenwick on, who really loves treehouses. And, like, it's been a very, like, all over the map. And it's been really, really fun.
There was one episode dedicated entirely to notebooks, if I'm not mistaken.
Paper notebooks, which going into, I was like, this is going to be so boring.
But it was rad.
But it was really good. It was really interesting.
Super fun.
Who's
Jen Kruger is her name. And she...
And notebooks are her game.
She loves notebooks and all these different systems for keeping track of your life and all this stuff on paper. It's like really interesting. Mm.
Super fun show. So check that out on iTunes, and is it on Stitcher?
No, I think we're just on iTunes.
Okay, cool.
iTunes and Libsyn.
Libsyn. That's what we do. Oh, we just gave away some of our secrets. That's okay.
Delete it.
We're on SoundCloud as well, too. You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter. What? Are you done with your plugs?
I'm done with my plugs. I'm done plugging.
Cool. Done plugging. You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter.
You can follow me at Electro Lemon.
Electro Lemon. That's Werner Herzog saying your name, which I'll just never
get on
my head.
Did Paul Tompkins just come in?
No. You can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on the Twitter. And you can write us in, email us for a Gilmore Guys segment.
Emaily Gilmore, I call it.
Emaily Gilmore, Laura Red. GilmoreGirlsShow@gmail.com. And yeah, that's about us. All we got for plugs, right?
I think so.
Oh, we're on SoundCloud now for you jerks who don't like iTunes.
Jerks.
Yeah, for
you assholes.
For you dummies that
give into the cloud.
Take a cursor over to the iTunes. Anyway, we're on there now. So hope that's worth it to you. Why am I so aggressive about
it? I don't know. What's wrong with SoundCloud?
Nothing. They're great.
Why would we put it on?
It's great, and it's great to embed it. Like, you can embed on Facebook and
it's a wonderful
Tumblr,
tool.
Oh, we're also on Facebook now. Facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. So you can go and like us, and then we'll cross post with Twitter and stuff and do stuff on there that we can't do on Twitter.
Such as
142 characters.
Yeah, we're going to write some extra, the director's cut of our tweets.
Yeah, where it's just like one more exclamation point than usual. Anthony, thank you so much
for doing
the show. Now, we got to end this show and this episode the way we end every episode.
The way we end every episode.
Anthony, how well do you know the theme song?
I don't know it at all.
Perfect.
That sounds great.
If you want to freestyle over it or just, or like hype man it, go for it.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Let's get it, Kev.
On the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Road and cold don't rhyme.
You have to do.
Oh, my gosh. I just realized that. This is falling apart. My mind. Thanks for doing the choo-choo.
I had to.
I will follow. Anywhere.
I can't stop thinking.
I can't either. Wait, road and cold don't rhyme?
Road and cold?
No, oh my
it's a
God.
Fake rhyme.
Carol, what the hell?
Carol, never got
no.
the show.
What the hell?
I will follow.
Why don't road and cold rhyme at all? Carol King, make some better rhymes, please.
Carol King is a hack artist. Just kidding. We love you, Carol King. You're literally one of the greatest songwriters ever.
This is going to be the one episode ever. She hears.
Come on the show.
Come on the show.
Come on the show. Goodbye.
Whoa, worldwide exclusive.
All right. We got to keep our promise to the fans.
We got it. We got to do it for the fans.
You left some reviews, and now we're going to review your name through song. And by review your name, we mean rap it.
Rap.
Here we
go. Drop that beat. Oh.
Hey, Demi.
What?
Hey, Demi.
Yeah.
You want to take the first name, Demi?
Okay.
Cool.
Ha, ha. Sir 527 left a review. I love that. That's really cool of you. Ms. Marshall left a review too, but it was pretty negative, but that's cool. You too. Oh.
Dad Deemer. Hey, like Justin Bieber. He's a heartthrob. His name is not Bob. Got Penguins left a review as well. It was so nice. 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 Ginger Spice. Brittany, that's my name.
Ginger Spice on the mic. Ginger Spice on the mic. Ginger Spice on the mic.
Oh, shit.
Brittany 101 left us a review. She said this was a good show and that... Oh man, I'm doing so bad at this. Hey, J. Bakes.
Are you taking a Vine right now?
I'm recording. I'm looking at the names.
JK.
Hey.
J. Bakes. J. Cakes. J. Fakes.
And he bakes. Like Sookie, Gilmore Girls, bringing it back to
take
the
lookie,
show.
Take a looky, take a
looky. New York Emily, hey, thank you for letting us know
you
that
wanna
you're
a fan. Weekend Michelle, go to hell, because I'm giving you everyday Michelle. J.O. Hunt, 316, probably not about the Bible. Hey,
nope.
You know what? It's been a while since Hippolyte said some nice things.
Said some nice things.
We got one more. Carrie 3-1.
We don't know how to.
How do you rhyme with Yugashida? You shouldn't have. Yugashida.
You shouldn't have written us a name if it.
Thank you for all the stars.
Thank you for reviewing this show.
Stars hollow.
Stars hollow.
Gonna wallow.
Gonna wallow.
In my milkshake.
And a flallow.
I drink a milkshake.
Oh my god.
We gotta stop.
At the end of the podcast so people can choose to not.
Yes.